All these years. It's vanished. It broke down, it stalled and ran off. I told you that last month.
She did not recall that, obviously. We'll fly.
But
Mogaba hated flying. In the days when he had been Long Shadow's general, he had had to fly with the Howler almost daily. He still loathed those times.
I thought the larger carpet was the one that was destroyed.
The small one will carry both of us. It'll be hard work. I'll have to rest a lot. But we'll be able to get down there and back before these people know we're gone and try to take advantage. A week for the round trip. 10 days at the outside. The great general had a few dozen reservations, but kept them behind his teeth. The Protector was worse than Long Shadow had been about suffering opinions she did not want to hear. Soulcatcher said,
"We'll adopt disguises once we get there and go among them."
"I want you to keep an eye out for a hammer. So by so. Made of cast iron, but far heavier than it ought to be."
Mogaba bowed slightly. He said nothing about how difficult it would be for either of them to blend in with the crowd they would be chasing. Soulcatcher told him,
"Prepare your men."
"They'll have to keep Taglios under control for a couple of weeks." Mogaba withdrew, saying nothing about the proposed time changing already. In his position, it was necessary to do a lot of saying nothing. The Protector watched him go, amused. He did not conceal his thinking nearly as well as he believed. But she was ancient in her wickedness, and had studied the dark side of humanity so thoroughly that she could almost read minds. Chapter 65. The little fortress settled in upon itself slowly, as though made of wax only slightly overheated. As soon as I fell asleep and could not interfere, Goblin handed the magical siege work over to Tobo, who did a creditable job of rooting the enemy survivors out of their shelter. The wicked little thing had been taking lessons a lot longer than he and his teachers would admit. The garrison was bringing out its dead and wounded when a shout awakened me. I sat up. Morning had begun to arrive, and the world had changed.
"What's Spiff's problem?" I asked.
One of my veterans had recognized one of theirs. The devil himself arrived to explain.
"The guy in charge. That's Crucevier Pete, Sleepy. You remember? We thought he was killed when the Baratta battalion got wiped out in the ambush of Kushkoshi."
"I remember." And I recalled something that Spiff did not know, a fact I shared only with Mergen, who had been the ghost in the rushes while the slaughter was taking place. Crucevier Pete, at that time a sworn brother of the company, had led our largest surviving force of allies into a trap that efficiently took us out of the Kialune Wars. Crucevier Pete had cut a deal. Crucevier Pete had betrayed his own brothers. Crucevier Pete was high on my list of people I wanted to meet again. Though until just now, I had been the only one who knew that he had survived, and that his treachery had been rewarded with a high post, money, and a new name. But just seeing him had some of the men figuring it out fast.
"You should have asked her to change your face, too," I told him when they flung him down.